Let me add my welcome. We're so glad that you're in the Lord's house this morning, and we know God's got a blessing for us as we seek Him. Now, when they said the air conditioning was off, I thought about sending Jerry over to the funeral home to get us some fans, you know. Yeah. Now, the younger ones won't understand about that, but the rest of us will. Then when they said something about our anniversary, I thought about a preacher that here in Stanley County a few years ago, he stood up and said, folks, said, I want y'all to know that today is mine and my wife's anniversary. I want you to know we've had 25 happy years. And they started clapping, and he said, 25's not bad out of 37, is it? Now, why she didn't throw a hymn book from the choir and hit him upside the head, I don't know. I like to write, and from time to time I put some things together, and I put together a little paper this week for you. You'll find copies down here on the offertory table when the service is over. If I gave them to you now, you'd read instead of listening to the sermon. But there's something for you to think about and pray about, and from time to time I'll probably be giving you something else to look at. May we pray. Lord God, we thank you for your great and mighty mercy that saves us, that gives us eternal life. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who's drawn us together today. And Father, we come to listen not to myself, but to the Holy Spirit. May you speak to us. You know our needs, you know our situation, you know each one of us. And so, Father, I pray for encouragement, I pray for direction. I pray for your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 23? 2 Samuel chapter 23. Now, 3,000 years ago, they didn't have any comic books, TV programs, or movies. So they didn't know about Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman and all of those people that superheroes that we've heard about in our generation, and all the X-Men and everything that is even beyond what I've learned. But the fellows that we're going to read about in just a moment would have made great superheroes, because they were very, very special individuals in the life of King David. Now, you know the chant that irritated Saul. Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. But David could not have built that great kingdom alone. We have to have one another. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. We have to have one another. We're important to one another. And we're going to read about some men that were very, very important to King David. 2 Samuel chapter 23, we'll begin at verse 8. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had. David had some men that were called mighty men. The Tachmonite that sat in the sea, chief among the captains, the same was Adino the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. 800 to 1, and he won. He won the battle. Defeated 800 men at one time. That sounds like a superhero to me. Verse 9, after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ohite, one of the three mighty men whom David with David when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. Now here this guy, he and David, they're deserted. the rest of Israel backed off and said, hey, wait, we're not in this battle. But it says he fought until his hand was so clamped around the sword that they had to pry his fingers off, so to speak, when the day was over. He held on to it so long and the battle went so strong, but they won. And then it says Israel came back to help pick up the spoil. In other words, all the enemy had left behind, weaponry and gold or silver or whatever. Israel deserted them in the time of battle, but came back whenever all the loot was being distributed. But here was a man who fought so hard that his hand was almost glued to his sword. Verse 13, after him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. Okay, here's the Shammah. Everybody runs, they're scared of the Philistines. But he, verse 12, withstood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Everybody else ran, but he stood and won the battle. Slip down to verse 18. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zerah, was chief among three. He lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them and had a name among the three. Verse 20. And Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in a time of snow, and he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. And if you just go on down all the rest of that chapter, it talks about David's mighty men who sometimes with others and sometimes alone won great victories. You see, David built his kingdom on the basis of these mighty men. Now, I want you to look for just a second. We're not even going to talk about it, but in verse 13, he talks about being in the cave of Adullam, the cave of Adullam. So keep that in mind and turn back with me to 1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22. A lot of Christians and a lot of churches have the don't have, can't do disease. Catch that? The don't have, can't do disease. We think we can't accomplish something because of what we don't have. We don't have the greatest location, or we don't have the greatest building, or we don't have the greatest opportunity. We don't have. As Christians, sometimes we have that attitude, well, I don't have such and such an education, I don't have, and because of that, I can't do. Now, we've just read about these mighty men, and you think, you know, they must have all worked out at the gym and been tremendous warriors. Let's go back and look at where these guys came from. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave where Adullam. So it's the same location. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captive over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Isn't that strange? There were 400 mighty men, you know, and he had the 3 and the 30 and the 40 and all of that, but about 400 mighty men in all. And here it says, this is where they came from. Now, what did it say they were? His family, who knew of his anointing, who had been there when Samuel had anointed him. People were in trouble. People who were in debt. And people who were discontented. You ever been there? You don't have to raise your hand about being in debt. You don't have to raise your hand about being discontented. You don't have to raise your hand about being in trouble. We've all been there. And yet, somehow or another, as these men joined together under the anointing of King David, they became mighty men of valor. It's not where you start. It's where you put your heart and what the Lord does with your commitment. They didn't have a lot to begin with, but they became mighty men that God used for his glory and to build a great kingdom. Joined together, they became a force to be reckoned with, and folks all over the Near East recognize David's mighty men. You and I can become mighty men and women of God if we submit to his anointing and his leadership. It's not where we began. It's whether we submit to him, seek his anointing, and his leadership. It's not the outward appearance. It's the heart. And that's true in so many, many areas. Now, this really doesn't have anything much to do with Scripture, but it gives an illustration. I was in my probably 27, 28 years old when I first took up golf. And I'd just come off the farm and I could hit the ball a long way. I just didn't know where it was going. You know, it doesn't matter if you hit a drive 300 yards if it's 200 of it's in the woods. It's just further, you got to go look for it. And there was a guy that used to come down to the course that we played at in Siler City. And I don't know whether he had been in an accident or whether it was a birth defect. But he was bent over, had a big old hump on his back, and you know, sort of like this. But let me tell you, he could beat the tar out of me. He had bent over, and he had hit the ball 150 yards, but it was always straight down the fairway. And he'd walk down there, and he hit another 150 yards, straight down the fairway, and then up on the green, and he's getting about a 4 or 5 on every hole when I was getting 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, whatever. Now, if you looked at him, you would say, what is this poor handicapped man doing? He's beating everybody on the golf course. It's not how you look. It's what's in the heart and your commitment. A few years ago, Southern Baptists had an outreach program they call Faith. Did y'all teach Faith here? Anybody know about Faith? It was based on the letters F-A-I-T-H. It's been too long, and I couldn't find my workbook this morning, so I don't remember, but F would be something like, for God so loved the world. A, all have sinned. I, it's impossible to get to heaven without Jesus. T, you need to turn from your sin and turn to Jesus. And H, when you do that, you get to heaven. And so I heard about a person that studied and studied and studied until they finally were ready to go out with their F-A-I-T-H to witness to their to some lost friend. And their mind went blank. How many of you ever heard David Ring preach? One, two, three, four. David Ring. I was at a tremendous, you know, one of those big conferences with a lot of big name preachers. And I was looking forward to hearing them. They announced that David Ring was going to speak next. He stood up, nice looking young man. But then he sort of shuffled up to the pulpit and his voice came out, and I'm embarrassed to say this, but my first thought was, they better get that drunk off the platform. I thought he was drunk. But that wasn't the problem. He was born with cerebral palsy. And they gave him a shuffling walk and a little bit of misspeech. But when he began to preach, he had you laughing, he had you crying, but he talked to you from the Lord, and the Lord used him to touch hearts. Later, I saw him in other conferences. I saw him numerous times on Jerry Falwell's Old Time Gospel Hour. David laughed about his condition. He talked about one time he walked onto the airplane, but somebody had said, you know, this guy's coming, so they got a wheelchair to get him off, and they said they put a sign around his neck and said, you know, I walked on, but by the time I got off, I was deaf, dumb, and helpless. And he liked to go to he was married to a normal lady. They had, I think, 4 kids. And he liked to go to restaurants, you know, and embarrass her. Said that waitress would come around, and he'd say, please don't take me back to that place where they lock me up and throw away the key. I just can't stand it if you take me back to that place where they lock me up. Of course, his wife getting turning red and with embarrassment, and he's just egging it on. But David had a saying that he said in almost every sermon. I have cerebral palsy. What's your excuse for not witnessing for Jesus? I have cerebral palsy. What's your excuse for not witnessing for Jesus? Here was a man that could have given up and quit. But a man that God called to preach and, as far as I know, traveled all over the United States sharing, in spite of his handicap, sharing Jesus with people that were lost, people that needed encouragement. He became a mighty man of God in spite of. There's one other scripture I want to read. It's in 2 Corinthians. And it's all about Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10 says, for his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Now, if you're going to make a movie about the Apostle Paul, you'd probably get a nice, handsome-looking dude, very articulate, to play Paul. But what was the word on the street about Paul? His looks are disgusting and his speech is terrible. He looks disgusting and his speech is terrible. Now, I can imagine if I'd been stoned, beaten, whipped, shipwrecked, as much as Paul was, I wouldn't look so normal either. And you probably wouldn't. But Paul was not a handsome dude with a flowing tongue. But everywhere Paul went, people were saved and churches were started. It wasn't his looks or his eloquence. Now, Paul was a learned man. But the word on the street was, this guy looks disgusting and his speech is contemptible. But God used that man all over the Near East and into Europe to change the world for Jesus Christ. He became a mighty man of God in spite of. What holds you back from being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? What kind of symptom of don't have, can't do, do you have? Or have you come to the place in your life where you say, Lord, I surrender what I have, what I know, and what I can do to you. And when we do that, it's amazing what God can do through us. I remember whenever the old Albemarle Airport had the big light, you know, that swirled through the sky at night. Well, Billy Graham was a great big light that shined all over the world. But you know, when the lights and the power go off, I'm glad for one little candle. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And you see, when the Lord uses us, not because of, but in spite of, the fact that we're not everything that we could have been, He gets the glory. He gets the glory. And after all, is that not what we want for the Father in heaven to get the glory? Jesus said, let your light shine. They may see your good works, but say, hey, I know God gets the glory. When David Ring stands up to preach, it's amazing. Think, I don't even hardly see how he does it. But God gets the glory. When Paul went all over the area sharing Jesus, he didn't look like much, but God got the glory. We're not the biggest church in the county, but there are things that we can do at Barbie's Grove, and folks will look back and say, praise the Lord. Give God the glory. Give God the glory for what those folks are doing. You may look in the mirror and say, hey, no. You remember a few weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago, you studied about Gideon? He always amazes me when the angel shows up and says, oh, mighty man of valor. And he says, who are you talking to? He said, my tribe is the least in all of Israel. My family's the worst in the whole tribe, and my dad's not much, and I'm the runt of the litter. You have got to be kidding. But you see, God saw in Gideon a mighty man of valor that Gideon didn't see when he looked in the mirror. Don't look in the mirror. Look into the face of God that sees you as a man or woman with great potential to reach this community and reach this world for Jesus. Don't ride down the road and think, oh, that church is so much bigger, or that preacher is so much more eloquent. Say, no, this is what God is going to do through Barbie's Grove Church to reach this community for Jesus. You know, these guys that we read about, they had no clue that 3,000 years later, their names would be public record as great men, mighty men. I think the Lord's going to come before then, but if time goes on, who knows what our names might be in public record. And even if they're not, they'll be in heaven's record as mighty men and women of God who said, Lord, here I am. Use me. And Lord, I'm not going to make excuses for what I don't have. What I do have is yours. What I do have is yours. As we have the invitation this morning, if you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you do that? Don't wait another day without giving your heart and life to Jesus. If you need to come to the altar and just surrender something in your life to the Lord, if you need to come to the altar and pray for someone that's on your heart, or if you need to come and share something with me, feel free to come as we stand to sing.